The following broadcast is brought to you by Sons of God International and Freedom Fellowship Church. Hello, and welcome to the prophetic voice of our time, where we focus on the voice of prophecy, which is the testimony of Jesus Christ. Our host, Christina Sasso, is a senior pastor at Freedom Fellowship Church. Let's hear what she has to say to the body of Christ.
Hello, thank you for tuning in. My name is Joshua Sasso, and you are listening to the prophetic voice of our time. God is preparing his church for greater works. And if you are among those that are willing to be trained by the Holy Spirit, then you will do greater works. In John chapter 14, verse 12, it says, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I have been doing." This is Jesus speaking. "And they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father." Jesus was preparing his disciples to do greater works than he did on the earth. And we have that same calling. If we believe in Jesus and what he's been doing, what he has done, what he has said, then we will do the same works that Jesus did: healing the sick, raising the dead, walking on water, calming the storm, and we will do even greater things than he did. This is a very stark difference than how many churches operate. Many pastors, when they look at their congregation, they view them as their flock, that it's a group of sheep, right? And the thing about sheep is that sheep are helpless. In fact, their wool grows so long that if you don't cut their wool for them, it will cover their face. They won't be able to see. They'll be tripping all over themselves. A sheep is a helpless animal. And many pastors view their congregation as sheep. Well, what's the issue with this? A sheep is not going to do the works that you've been doing and even greater works. A sheep is not going to walk in authority and power and go change the world. A sheep does what they're told. A sheep can't take care of themselves. A sheep has to be taken care of. And this is the way that many ministries operate, where the pastor has placed themselves as the head, at the top of the hierarchy. And you need to pray for your pastor. You need to sacrifice and serve and do all these things. And they'll hear from God for you. And you continue to serve and listen and obey. But this is not the model that Jesus gave us. Yes, Jesus had spiritual authority over his disciples, but he was not leading sheep. He was preparing the first generation of the church, because he knew he was leaving. And so he needed to equip them to do greater works even than he did on the earth, right? So there was no sense of pride in Jesus, right? There's no sense of, well, you cannot surpass your spiritual father in anointing. You can't go higher because I'm your covering. That is not biblical. Jesus is our example. And he said, you will do greater works than me. But for the vast majority of ministries, they keep Christians immature. You'll go in, they'll feed you, they'll take care of you, and then they send you on your way. We have many Christians that spiritually are infants. They cannot engage in spiritual warfare. They cannot operate with power and authority and with signs and wonders following them. So this has been a failing in the church leadership that God wants to address. If you are in a position of leadership, you need to be preparing people that they can do what you've been doing, and they should be able to surpass you. So you have to view them as people that can surpass you. And if they believe, they will surpass you. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 6, and this is in the New King James Version, and he hath made us kings and priests to his God and Father, To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. God is calling his church to be an authority, right? So a priest is one who goes into the presence of the Lord, ministers before the Lord and before the people. A king is somebody who has dominion, who has authority. They wield power and influence, sometimes even over unbelievers, right? You think of King Solomon, the surrounding nations paid tribute to Solomon because they were under his influence, even though they were not Israelites, right? So a king goes into the world and has authority and has a dominion. And a priest goes into the presence of God and ministers before the Lord. We are supposed to be both. And that is the revelation for this day. We need to be in authority into every sector of society, and the church needs to be equipped for that, right? Because right now, what is the concept of discipleship look like in the church? Well, we have a bunch of preachers, and then they train other people how to preach. And they'll quote the same scriptures, they'll tell the same story, sometimes they'll say the same jokes, right? So we just have preachers that are training people to become preachers. And then we just preach at each other. This is not walking in the authority that God has for you. God is raising up in this day prophets like that of Abraham, right? Abraham didn't go around preaching to people. He didn't even go around saying, "Thus saith the Lord," right? God himself said that Abraham is a prophet. So if God is raising up prophets like that of Abraham, well, what did Abraham do in his life? He received the calling of God. Go to a place you've never been before, but a place I am leading you. And Abraham obeyed God and went where God led him to go. So for some of you, that will be the, you know, traditional full-time ministry, as we understand it, preaching, evangelizing, and these things. For others, the Spirit of God is calling you into technology, or healthcare, or banking, or various forms of business, or politics. The Spirit of God needs to operate in those industries too. You think about everything that's happening with technology, with AI, and all these things. Wouldn't it be far better if all of the innovation and all these things, research that's happening with AI, is being stewarded by Christians who fear the Lord? If the AI development was being stewarded by Spirit-filled Christians, they would take great care to ensure that AI will be a benefit to humanity, that it's not going to cause all kinds of problems, right? But a lot of times for Christianity, the church, some new technology comes out or some new innovation comes out, and oh, that's demonic, or that's not from God. We immediately react negatively to it instead of seeing how God can use it for good. And this happened with the radio, it happened with the television, it happened with the internet. Oh, that's demonic. Oh, that's evil. And then what happens? The church pulls away from it, and that vacuum that's left behind, well, it's taken over by the world and principalities of darkness, right? So television was taken over by unbelievers. Film, internet, they were all taken over by unbelievers. And then when all of this innovation became the norm, what happened? The church realized, oh, we got to play catch up. We got to get into this technology, this new thing, because everyone out there is doing it. Why are we always chasing after the world? Why are we not the ones setting trends that the world should be chasing after? Okay, this is the difference. What it means to begin acting like a king, to go out there and take dominion. We should not be chasing the world. The world should be reacting to us. Right? That means innovations in music, in fashion, in media, in technology should be coming out of the church that are so revolutionary that the world has to adopt it. That they say to themselves, if we don't begin emulating these Christians, if we don't start copying them, we're going to go out of business. That's the kind of influence God wants to give his church. But it means being like Abraham, where God calls you out Leave your family. Leave everything you know behind. Leave your place of comfort and go to a land I will show you. And Abraham just did just that. He uprooted his entire life to follow and obey God. And that was the continual theme with Abraham. God instructs him to do something. That same day, Abraham does it, right? When God says that you and all the men in your household should be circumcised, the Bible says that very same day, Abraham obeyed the Lord. When God said, sacrifice your son, Isaac, whom you love, it says early the next morning, Abraham arose and took with him Isaac to go. That is the pattern of Abraham, right? He didn't go around preaching. He didn't go around quoting the Bible. But he lived a life of faith and obedience to God. And now we read through his life and we see the impact it's had all these thousands of years later. And the amazing thing is that through Abraham's obedience to God, he ends up prophesying, right? God said he is a prophet, right? When God says, sacrifice your son Isaac, and you know, they're kind of on their way to the place where they're going to sacrifice, Isaac is looking around and he's wondering, you know, Father, I see the wood, I see these things, but where's the sacrifice? Where's the sacrificial lamb? And Abraham says this. He says, God himself will provide the lamb. And I guarantee you, Abraham did not know the significance of it, right? Where we deserve death, and God sent his son, Jesus, as the sacrificial lamb in our place, right? But that prophetic word came through his life of faith and obedience. It came out as he was walking in obedience to God. And these are the kinds of people that God is raising up in this day. Men and women, many of whom are unknown, who receive the calling of the Lord, and they choose to obey God. Even if the road that's ahead of them, it looks difficult, or it's uncomfortable, or even it's a complete unknown to them. It's a place or an arena that's completely out of their wheelhouse, but they choose, God, I'm going to trust you. I know it looks hard. I know it doesn't make sense. God, I am going to trust you. And through their life of faith and obedience to God, the mighty hand of God will be seen by all. That is what God means when he says, I am raising up prophets like that of Abraham. And understand this too. Abraham lived like a prince on the earth, right? He was exceedingly wealthy as he obeyed the Lord. He had influence to where princes and kings were trying to make alliances with him because they were afraid of Abraham. So for some of those people in this day, it will be like that, that they will have influence and resources, and even unbelievers will want to be allied with them because they will see the hand of God on them. So I want to go back to the discipleship thing, okay? So that means in the church, we're not just discipling preachers. We are discipling men and women in how to hear from God and how to obey him. That is beyond quoting scriptures. It's beyond, you know, kind of looking at a concordance and figuring out the root words, the Greek and the Hebrew. These are all important things. They're all good. But reading the Bible alone isn't enough. If you are not engaging the Holy Spirit and you're not walking your walk with God with fear and trembling, reading the Bible alone is not enough. Think of it like this, okay? Sometimes you read the Bible, you read the Gospels, and Jesus is saying all these things, and many of the things that he's saying seem so obvious to us who know what happens in the story. For example, in one passage, Jesus says to his disciples, he says, the Son will suffer many things. He will suffer, he will die, and then on the third day, he will raise again, right? And he says this to his disciples many times. Then later, he goes to the cross and dies. And what happens to the disciples? Oh no, Jesus died. And they kind of get scattered. They're afraid. All of these things. They go back to their fishing trade, right? They were fishermen before. So they go back to their previous job. Even though Jesus told them, he said, I'm going to die and I'm going to be raised again in 3 days. And they still didn't see it when it was right in front of them, right? And later on, Jesus, he's risen from the grave. He's going around showing all these signs. And then in Acts chapter 1, one of the disciples asked Jesus this. He says, Jesus, is now the time when you're going to restore the kingdom to Israel? But Jesus never talked about the kingdom of Israel, right? He always talked about the kingdom of God. And he said, the kingdom of God is within you, right? So Jesus was talking about something bigger, but the disciples couldn't even visualize it. They couldn't understand it on their own, even though he was saying it plainly to them. I'm going to die and rise again in 3 days. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He never mentions the kingdom of Israel. But for the disciples, they had this preconception in their head. They had a vision for what the Messiah was going to look like. Oh, he's going to rescue us from our captivity to the Romans. And he's going to rebuild the kingdom of Israel. And it's going to be back like in the times of David and Solomon. Israel is going to be back to its former glory. And meanwhile, Jesus is trying to do something way bigger. Something that involves bringing salvation to all of the world, right? So Jesus was saying these things plainly to them, and they still couldn't see it. It wasn't until Acts chapter 2. And what happens in Acts chapter 2? The Holy Spirit comes, rests on them like tongues of fire, and it fills them, right? They become filled with the Holy Spirit. And suddenly, when the Holy Spirit comes, what happens? They get wisdom and understanding. Peter's able to stand up and say, this is what Jesus had been talking about all this time. This is what the prophet Joel meant when God said, I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh. Jesus was talking about this. And right, they finally understood what Jesus was saying because the Holy Spirit illuminated it to them. This is why no matter how much you study the Bible and you can get into the raw Hebrew and the Greek and all these things, if you do not engage the Holy Spirit, even though what's in the scripture might be staring you straight in the face, you will miss it because you cannot grasp it by your own understanding. You need the Holy Spirit, who Jesus said will teach you all things, right? Which means the Holy Spirit's not just going to teach you about the Bible. He's going to teach you about the nature of God. He'll even teach you regarding business and marketing and science and inventions, right? It's like with Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It says, the Bible says, to these four young men, the Spirit of God gave all manner of wisdom and understanding. And Nebuchadnezzar questions Daniel and these three young Hebrew boys. And it says that he found them to be 10 times wiser than the wise men of Babylon, right? So not 10 times wiser than their other peers who were being trained. The one who were already wise men, Daniel and his friends were found to be 10 times wiser, right? And I guarantee you, he wasn't asking them about the Torah or the prophets, right? He was asking them about, you know, he would have been asking about economic policies. He would have been asking about legal issues, political issues, military strategies, and they were found to be 10 times wiser than the wise men in Babylon. That is like you being found to be 10 times wiser than those people graduating from Harvard, MIT, the smartest scientists, the smartest inventors, philosophers, all of these things, 10 times wiser than them. So if you engage the Holy Spirit, then the Spirit of God will give you wisdom and understanding. And that moment will come where suddenly the scriptures, the Bible is not just a book anymore. The Bible becomes a living word because the Holy Spirit will point something out to you and it'll explode. It'll explode and be like, oh my gosh, that's been staring me in the face all this time. But now it's become alive. It's become real. The Holy Spirit wants that for you in every area of your life. So discipleship in the church has to change. It's not just studying the Bible. It's studying the Bible, but it's also learning to hear from God and walk your faith and obedience to God. And you know, it's really, really unfortunate because as Christians, we should be the people that are the best with money. We should be the people that are the hardest and most productive workers. We should be the most inventive and clever people. And yet, you have so many Christians horrible with money. You have pastors that are horrible with money and can't even balance a checkbook. But they think, oh, well, I'm above that. These other people will take care of it for me. My job is to preach and to pray. Okay? Preaching isn't the ultimate. It's walking in faith and obedience to God. And think about it like this, guys. Because I know many of you have devoted so much time to reading the Bible, and those are good things. And perhaps many of you have devoted way more time than I have even devoted to reading the Bible. But remember this, and it's that during the time that Jesus was in the earth, who were the people that opposed him the most? They were the Pharisees, Sadducees, and the teachers of the law. These were the men who had the most knowledge of the scriptures in their time. So much so that they devoted their entire life to studying the Bible. And yet, when the Messiah, who they were waiting for, was standing right in front of him, they did not perceive it. They didn't realize it. Even though they knew all the prophets, they knew all the promises of God, all of the law, and the fulfillment of all those things was staring them right in the face, and they were trying to kill him. They were opposing the will of God. So in all of their knowledge of the scriptures, they still missed it. And it will be the same for you if your focus is on studying the scriptures without engaging the Holy Spirit. And there's a ton of, you know, even pride that comes in studying the scriptures to that level, in the sense that you begin to think, I know all there is to know. I have figured out all of these things. When the truth is, God is so vast, his scripture is so dense, that we will never completely know all there is to know. There will still be revelations to uncover. There will still be things that we have to learn. And it's actually pride and arrogance to think that my doctrine is complete. All right, just stop and think about that for a second. To think that in your spirit, and I know that you're not saying this out loud, right? But how many of us, once we establish our doctrine, become so immovable in our own doctrines because we decided that we figured it out? The second you take on that mindset, you are not leaving room for God. This move of God will only come by us relying completely on the Holy Spirit. And so to the point that where we emulate what Jesus did on the earth, where Jesus said, I only do those things I see my Father do. I only say those things I hear my Father say, right? Jesus showed us the path, complete reliance on God. Every word we say, every decision we make, everything we do, complete reliance on God. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 19, and I'm going to close with this. It says, by wisdom, the Lord laid the earth's foundations. By understanding, he set the heavens in place. By his knowledge, the watery depths were divided and the clouds let drop the dew. So God laid the foundations of the earth with wisdom. And what God wants all of you to hear now is that the calling of God in your life, whether it's in the business arena or whether it's in traditional ministry, the very foundations of that thing must be laid with the wisdom of God, where the Holy Spirit is at the very center of it. Right? So if God is leading you to start a business or get into inventions, the very foundation at the root will be laid by the wisdom of God. And that is doing the things that we see the Father doing. God laid the foundations of the earth through wisdom. So anything that we build will have the same foundation. And you can't get there without the leading of the Holy Spirit. So I hope this has kind of lit a fire kind of under you to motivate you that it's time to pursue God. And maybe it's opened your eyes in some ways. We can't do this without the Holy Spirit. And our concept of full-time ministry is completely changing. And you know what? It's changing for the better. God has called us to be living epistles, which means it's not necessarily what you say, but as you live your life, people will see your faith and obedience to God, and they will be motivated to follow God as a result of it. Just like we see the life of Abraham, or even the life of the apostles, that the things they did were a testament to their faith and obedience to God. And it should be the same for us. So I want to thank you so much for tuning in. Again, my name is Joshua Sasso, and you've been listening to the Prophetic Voice of Our Time.
Thanks for tuning in. You've been listening to the Prophetic Voice of Our Time. We really hope you were blessed by today's episode. And if you were, we want to hear from you. You can call us at 210-695-1630. Or you can email us at sogmi@outlook.com. That's sogmi@outlook.com. And we really encourage you to visit our website, sogmi.org. That is sogmi.org. That's where you can listen to previous episodes of this podcast and even support this broadcast. We're supported by listeners just like you. So if you want to support this ministry, you can go to sogmi.org and hit the donate button. You can also send a check to P.O. Box 1579, Helotes, Texas 78023. Again, that is P.O. Box 1579, Helotes, Texas 78023.